from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is Kennedy Classics. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Hello and welcome to Kennedy Classics, a viewer-supported outreach. I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries, and I want to encourage you to visit our ministry website, where you can find a virtual cornucopia of digital, audio, video, and print resources. It's all available at djkm.org. Some people are willing to accept a great many things as true without giving the matter any serious study or personal investigation. Surprisingly, this also is true for many as it relates to historical events, even though historical evidence can be sometimes sparse. This is not the case as it relates to the first advent of Jesus Christ. With such a powerful biblical witness, the reality of Christ's coming is undeniable. Even more so when you see the manifold historical references to him that are found outside the Bible. These extra-biblical references are so plenteous that no legitimate historian would have the temerity to deny his existence. But if his stepping into human history is irrefutable, what about the question, who is this Jesus? While many will affirm the historicity of the Bible, they will often deny its essential teaching about the person of Jesus Christ. And of course, who he is defines his earthly ministry, especially at the cross of Calvary. One noted scholar argued forcefully that we only have three reasonable options to consider when it comes to the person of Jesus Christ. And this is the title of Dr. Kennedy's message: Liar, Lunatic, or Lord?
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Matthew 19, beginning with verse 13, may we hear the inspired word of the living God. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And may God speak to us through his holy word, and may his name ever be praised. Amen. Last week in this Advent season, when Christ is placed under all kinds of microscopes, and his life and history, if it indeed even exists, is discussed in national magazines. Last week, we considered the most basic question, did Jesus Christ ever really live at all? And we discovered that he was not a myth, he was not a legend, but that he was a real historical personage, that there was overwhelming historical evidence for that fact, and in fact, there was more evidence that he lived than there was that Alexander the Great or even Julius Caesar lived. And today, I'd like to proceed further on that and consider this question. Acknowledging that he did live, was not a myth, and was a real person in time and history, then the question arises, what kind of a person was he? And as C.S. Lewis has so succinctly put it, he was either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord of Glory. Well, those are actually the only three alternatives that we have. A liar, a lunatic, or a lord. So let's take a look at that, because there have been various persons who have held to each of those ideas. And let's see what history and the scripture has to say to us. First of all, let me say this. One thing he wasn't, and I told you this before, he wasn't a good man. Now, somebody came up to me last week, and they didn't understand that at all. How can you say that he wasn't a good man? Well, you'll need to understand that Jesus was not merely a man, he was the God-man. What is called theologically the Theanthropos, the God-man joined together in one. So if you consider merely his humanity, you find out that he was not a good man. Jesus made that same statement. I read it to you today. I would be sure that there would be some of you that didn't catch it, so let me say it again. In Matthew 19, we see that a man came up to him and said unto him, "Good Master." And Jesus stopped him right there in his tracks and said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." So he hung him up on the twin horns of a dilemma. Either Jesus was good, and if he were, then he was God. Or if he were not God and merely human, he was not a good man, because nobody could say the things that Jesus said if he were not God. Jesus Christ was not a good man. And don't allow anyone to thus pretend that that solves the problem of who Christ is. No. And he was not a liar, as some critics have said. For example, he said, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Interestingly, nobody asked him, who is that? They knew about whom he was speaking. He was speaking about himself. He continued, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a wiser than Solomon is here." That, of course, was the Queen of Sheba. But Jesus is both wiser than Solomon and greater than Jonah, who saved the whole world. at least 8 people from which the world came back. And yet, no one seems to say, oh, that is a horrendous lie. How could he say such things as that? Everyone knew about whom he spoke, and no one challenged or denied that it was true. He was a greater than Jonah and a wiser than Solomon, because he is the eternal creator of the world. Or else, he is a madman, a lunatic. And he also said things like this, that to believe in him is to believe in God. To hate him is to hate God. To receive him is to receive God. To honor him is to honor God. He said that those that did not have him did not have God. If Jesus were wrong in the central point of his teachings, namely his own identity, he was wrong about everything. Some people have said, and I've heard it, well, he was just mistaken. Now, that's a simple solution, isn't it? Well, truly, people have been mistaken. In fact, I would say that all mere humans have been mistaken. I have been many times. I recall one time my wife sent me to the grocery store to buy one thing. And since my head was and is always filled with profound spiritual thoughts, I came home with the wrong thing. My wife, knowing that my head was always filled with profound spiritual thoughts, said nothing about it. You believe that? Well, there are some things that we don't make mistakes about. Though I have made many mistakes, I can tell you one mistake I've never made. And I sincerely doubt that there's anyone in this sanctuary that's ever made this mistake. I never made the mistake of thinking that I was the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the universe, and the judge of the living and the dead. Did you? Jesus said those things about himself. That's not a mistake. You can make mistakes about a lot of things, but if you make that kind of a mistake, then very dolorous consequences follow. They come and get you, and then they take you away to a very clean-looking white building, and they put a very nice white coat on you that ties in the back, and they put you in a cell with very soft walls. Yes, that's not the kind of mistake that you want to make, and I don't know anybody that ever has. I don't know anybody that's claimed it other than Christ, who claimed that he was indeed the creator and would be the judge of the whole world. No, he knew who he was. Some critics have said that he was indeed unbalanced and that he was fanatical, a monomaniac, and he was fanatical about that. But, you know, leaders of the world, leaders of virtually every religion in the world, have commented about the sanity and clarity of the thought and sublimity of the life of Jesus Christ. They have said that many, many times. Was he going back and forth as to what he was? He claimed that he was the Christ. He endured the desertion of his followers. He was scourged. He had a heavy cross placed upon him, and he dragged it to Calvary. He was scourged, and he was also had nails pounded into his wrists and feet. And in all of that, when he was asked, "Art thou the Christ?" he replied under oath, I am. He was always in charge of the circumstances of his life. He was absolutely somber in those things. He knew who he was, and it didn't matter whether it was in death's grasp or sleep or torture or wherever. Christ over and over again declared, I am the Son of God, the Christ of heaven. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Even the people that were the closest to him, even the people that condemned him, gathered together and proclaimed his innocence. Perhaps you hadn't thought about that. He not only never lied, his followers said, he never sinned at all. But Judas, who betrayed him, said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Pilate, who condemned him, said, I find no fault in this man. The repentant thief who died beside him said, we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. The centurion who plunged a long spear into his side said, certainly, this was a righteous man. His critics also have declared that he hasn't lied. David Strauss, the famous German critic whose volatile mind tore the scriptures apart, he spent his life doing that. But like most all other critics, in his later years, he sang a very different song. David Strauss said, he, Christ, represents within the religious sphere the highest point beyond which posterity cannot go, yea, whom it cannot even equal. As little as humanity will ever be without religion, as little will it ever be without Christ. Yes, indeed, he remains, said David Strauss, the highest model of religion within the reach of our thought, and no perfect piety is possible without his presence in the heart. William Lecky wrote a huge tome on the rise of rationalism in Europe, how rationalism began to take over Europe centuries ago and change it completely. He spent his life completely denying all revealed religion and also the inspiration of the scripture because he was a thoroughgoing rationalist, atheist. He spent his life attacking Christ and Christianity, but again, in his maturity, he said this, it was reserved for Christianity to present to the world an ideal character which through all of the changes of 18 centuries has inspired the hearts of men with impassioned love, has shown itself capable of acting upon all ages, upon all nations and temperaments and conditions, and has been not only the highest pattern of virtue, but the strongest incentive for its practice. The simple record and kindly words of Jesus Christ have done more to regenerate and soften mankind than all of the disquisitions of philosophers and exhortations of moralists. No, Jesus has not lied to us. Jesus is, as he himself said, I am the truth. I think the lovely words of Jean-Paul Richter put it very well. He said, the life of Christ concerns him who, being the holiest of the mighty and the mightiest of the holy, lifted with his pierced hands empires off their hinges and turned the stream of centuries out of its channel and still governs the ages. But I think perhaps the words of the poet Sidney Lanier, an American, put it best. He asked the question, what have I to forgive in Christ? And answered it thusly, but thee, O sovereign seer of time, but thee, O poet's poet, wisdom's tongue, but thee, O man's best man, O love's best love, O perfect life, in perfect labor writ, O all man's comrade, servant, king, or priest, what if, or yet, what mole, what flaw, what lapse, what least defect, or shadow of defect, what rumor tattled by an enemy of inferences loose, what lack of grace even in torture's grasp, or sleeps or deaths, oh, what amiss may I forgive in thee, Jesus, good paragon, thou crystal Christ. The only perfect life that the world has ever seen. But then some will say, well, yes, but maybe he was not deluded, but he simply was self-deceived with grandiose ideas of who he was. So said and thought George Bernard Shaw, to whom no one, no place, and no thing was sacred at all. He concluded that Jesus was a monomaniac. Christ's brothers thought the same until he rose from the dead. Besides, it has been the virtually unanimous consent of history and of the leaders of religions of the world that Jesus Christ represents the sanest, most balanced life the world has ever seen. The New England critic William Channing spent most of his life denying the Trinity and the deity of Christ. Yet again, in his mature years, he said, the charge of self-deluding fanaticism is the last to be fastened on Jesus. But where do we find traces of it in his history? Do we detect them in the calm authority of his precepts, in the mild, practical, beneficent spirit of his religion, in the simplicity of the language by which he unfolds the sublime truths of Christianity? The truth is that, remarkable as it was, the character of Jesus is distinguished by nothing more than calmness and self-possession. Whatever situation he was in, whether it was in a sinking boat, or in the midst of 5,000 hungry people, or in the midst of soldiers come to kill him, he was always in charge, in control, and perfectly calm. A monomaniac, a lunatic, hardly at all. If that is so, then we all ought to be in a madhouse. Some people have figured that John Stuart Mill was perhaps the most intelligent man that ever lived, according to his writings. He was a man of great brilliance. But again, later he said, when this preeminent genius of Christ is combined with the quality of probably the greatest moral reformer and martyr to that mission who has ever existed on earth, religion cannot be said to have made a bad choice in picking on this man as the ideal representative and guide of humanity. He said, our greatest goal should be to so live that Christ would approve our life. If he were a madman, would you go to the insane asylum monthly to get their approval on your life? I don't think so. Not at all. No, he is not a liar. He is not a lunatic. He is the Lord of glory, the King of kings, the Son of God, the Savior of men. But the question is, who is he to you? This one whose resurrection, his crucifixion, his incarnation are totally unique. There is none else in the world like that. Never has been and never will be. He said to Peter, but who say ye that I am? Peter answered it perfectly by saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Or in the Greek text, thou art the Christ, the Son of the God, the living one. Could not be more definite than that. And even such a skeptic and total unbeliever as Rousseau at last admitted, yes, if the life and death of Socrates are those of a sage, then the life and death of Jesus are those of a God. My friend, you have no option but those that I gave you, liar, lunatic, or Lord. Jesus Christ is, as the evidence demands, the greatest person that ever lived, the only Savior of mankind, our hope, and our Redeemer. Trust in Him. May we pray. There is none like Thee, O Christ, in heaven above or in earth below. Thou art the altogether lovely one, the fairest of 10,000. O God, Thou art willing even now to reach down with pierced hands and lift up solid, sordid souls and transform them into saints fit for paradise. And so, Lord, for anyone here who has not yet received Thee, may they lift up their eyes and reach out their hands even now and say, Come, Lord of glory, come into my heart, forgive me and cleanse me and make me wholly your own. I pray it in Thy matchless name. Amen.
Did you pray that prayer just now with Dr. Kennedy? If so, we'd like to send you Beginning Again as our gift to you. It's written by Dr. Kennedy for new believers, and it's designed to help you grow in your faith. You'll learn how to read and study the Bible and so much more. Just ask for Beginning Again when you write to our address or call our toll-free number. God bless you as you do.
As Dr. Kennedy warned, this is the time of year to expect the skeptics, radicals, unbelievers, and atheists to declare that Jesus is a liar and a lunatic. But as the evidence demands, Jesus Christ is in fact the greatest person that ever lived, the only Savior of mankind, our hope, and our Redeemer. Dr. Kennedy's eloquence in delivering this sermon reminds us how immensely blessed we are to be in the safe hands of the Lord of Glory. We'd love to send you a DVD or CD copy of Liar, Lunatic, or Lord for your generous gift to this ministry. Or maybe you'd like to have a copy for yourself. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11164, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33339, or call toll-free 888-332-3069, or go online to djkm.org. And please include a generous gift toward the ongoing work of this ministry. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Kennedy Classics. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.